Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
And that's a holy thing. Tony, I enjoyed the worship this morning. I tell you, playing the piano, it's like better than a ride at Six Flags. Playing worship, it's just so enjoyable. I just so much get into it. It's such a privilege. Because I always tell Tony, you know, if we were 90 years old in a nursing home and someone said, where would you like to go? So, oh, I wish I could just do one more worship service because that's so amazing. I did just get a few minutes ago a text from Brother Willie, which is encouraging. He said to tell the church, thank you so much for the prayers. He said that he is feeling better today. I'm sure he's got a ways to go, but he said the major test came back negative, and he believes he has a stomach virus, but we're believing for improvement in the future. So keep him in prayers. Pastor Pam called me this week, and remember when she had the rapture dream that she shared with the church, that she dreamed she had a rapture? And when she called me to tell me that a few weeks ago, I said to her, What I want to know is whether or not you have the dream more than once. Because when God's, often, you see that in the Bible, God will give the same dream two or three times. So she called me this week and she said, you're not going to believe what I just dreamed. She said, I had the rapture dream again. So we'll have to remind her to share that with us when she gets back. I do want to say that I believe that today is going to be very special. I, for those of you that don't know what we're going to do, I'm kind of going to prepare our hearts for it. The words of Jesus, when Jesus in the book of Revelation appeared to John and said, I have a message for the church, and it's entire Revelation 2 and 3. And the whole idea of that message was it was supposed to be read to the churches. It was supposed to be read, and it was right from Jesus. And my heart is a little bit broken today about the state of the world. We know the state of our country, the state of the world, that most people deny Jesus, or they're not interested in Jesus. They're not interested in what Jesus is saying. But there's a real heaven there. There's a real Father there. There's a real heaven and a real hell heading our way. And death is a reality. And judgment is a reality. And what Jesus is going to say to us. So when I get to that point, which I'm going to be working up to it, I'm not going to take a lot of time today. I don't want to keep you here because I think that what Jesus is going to say in the second and third chapters, that's going to be the highlight of this service. And what I'm going to do, here's my promise to you, which you can hold me to it, when we get there, when I finally get to the second chapter and third chapter of the book of Revelation, I am not going to add my own comment. I'm going to bite my tongue through the entire two chapters. And that's hard to do because you want to say, oh, let me expound on that. But you know what? Jesus is not going to need my help expounding on anything. I think he's a good enough preacher. So that's going to be the kind of the highlight of this. Do you all remember, as we kind of get ready for this, I know you do remember when Jesus turned the water into wine, and remember what they said about the wine. This is the best wine ever. This was saved the best for last. So I want you to imagine in your mind for a minute a bottle of wine, which I've got to believe it's a red wine, right? At Canaan, because it represents the blood of Jesus. But I want you to imagine a bottle of wine from Jesus. I mean, you know how you have the name of the vineyard printed on the wine? This is from heaven's vineyard, y'all. You know, this was made from grapes that went through living water. They were watered with living water, is what I'm saying. This is heavenly wine. Now, keep that in your mind. We're going to come back to the wine in a minute. I saw a video, which you've all seen things similar to this. In this video, this woman was being arrested for shoplifting quite a bit of things. And as they were putting the handcuffs on her, she was saying, "In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, Satan." Okay, and nothing happened. They still arrested her. What do you think is going on there? Not just there. Jesus' name is called out all the time at work. Someone hits their finger with a hammer. Jesus, right? And you hear people use the name of Jesus without honoring it. Am I right? Without respecting it. And here's this woman who is using the name of Jesus. What is happening here? So I want you to imagine that bottle of wine again. And imagine that you decided to cut it with water. So you made one bottle into five bottles. And you said, let's cut it again. Let's add some more water to this wine. What would be happening to the wine? You would be turning wine into water. You would be diluting what God had done and what God had made. And so it is with the name of Jesus. Watch this. The power of the name of Jesus coming out of your mouth is proportional to how much honor and esteem that you have for Jesus in your heart. Y'all believe that? Remember the seven sons of Sceva? They're like, well, we're going to try this demon cat. So how does it work? What's the magic language? And someone said, I think it's Shazam. And someone said, use the name of Jesus. Like, that's the magic words. So they went to the demon and they said, we're casting you out. And, oh, yeah, it's in the name of Jesus. Paul's Jesus, by the way. So that's the magic words. What do you say to that demon? Demon says, y'all, I know Paul. Yeah. Dropping Paul's name there. And I know Jesus. But who are you guys? Who are you guys? And it did not turn out well for them. And I think that that lesson about watering down not only the name of Jesus, but watering down the entire Word of God. When you hear the Word of God, if you esteem it and say, this is the Word of God, it can have an impact on your life. But how many times have we, and by the way, I was especially challenged saying I'm going to read all of Revelation 2 and 3 without stopping, because that is not what a speaker is supposed to do. You're going to lose people's attention and they're going to be thinking about Popeyes. But that's not what we're going to do here today. Think, this is not what Jesus said. This is what Jesus is saying today. And he's saying it to a church because he's getting ready to come. All this stuff about the rapture, all this stuff that Jesus is coming soon that we're going to hear, this is on the table right now because these are the end times. And it's amazing that, you know, the book of Revelation itself starts out with the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I had a mistake in my notes. I had said, this is Jesus' message to the seven churches. That's wrong. Do you know why it's wrong? Because he says, to the church at Philadelphia, to the church at Smyrna. It's the church, Alan. It's the church. The message is to the, there may have been different locations, but it was still to the church. And so I'm saying we can't get by saying, oh, that's to the Church of Philadelphia. They didn't say Christian Fellowship Church. No, it's to the church. This is for all of us. This is to the church at 59th and Trip. And, you know, when I started thinking what I would preach, my plan was I have all these topics, Bible topics, like a bunch of them, over 50, and I'll weigh each one and decide what I can do the best job on. So seven churches, it's alphabetical, so seven got in there first. And I'm like, okay, let's first weigh the Christ's message to the seven churches. And I said, this is Jesus himself preaching. This is Jesus himself teaching. This is Jesus himself saying, I want the church to hear this. And I said to myself, what could I preach that would top Jesus? What sermon would be better than that? And I said, okay, number one is good. You know, I can't beat that, because we need to hear from God, not from Ken. That's why I'm not going to make comment when it comes time. I am encouraged, and you already know this, but the Bible, when Jesus is getting this whole thing set up and he appears to John and says, I want you to take notes, he said, blessed are those that hear this and blessed are those that read it. We are instructed to read this. We're supposed to read this to the churches. And there's a special blessing just for being here and hearing it. And what I hope the result is that our eyes and our hearts are opened to what Tony said today, that time is short. Because that is what the message is. Tony, I can't say it any better than that. If the rapture isn't coming in the next 10 years, the rapture still may be coming for me in the next 10 years. You know, just because Jesus, you know, hasn't come yet, to everyone that has died, that has been their rapture. That has been their time to go and meet God and meet judgment. So it's nice that God has pronounced a special blessing on me who reads it, on you who hears it. And if you really think about Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, some translations say the revelation from Jesus Christ. Now think of the two of those. One says the revelation of Jesus. The other says the revelation from Jesus. Which one is right? They both are. It is a revelation of Jesus. And if you think about it, the entire Bible is a revelation of Jesus. I like to say it this way. The blood of Jesus is on every page of the Bible. Genesis 1:1. I wonder what this Bible is about. Is it about me? In the beginning, God's children? In the beginning, God. This is about God. This whole word of God is about God. And as soon as Adam and Eve sinned, what did God say? The only way to cover that sin? Shedding of blood. And then the prophecy is already there in the book of Genesis of the birth of Jesus, that he would crush Satan's head. Right there, all the way through the Bible, is a revelation of Jesus Christ. And what I want us to realize is, as we begin to read in Revelation, that the things we're talking about, they are happening right now in heaven. Even as you sit here, things are happening in heaven right now. There's a throne room right now. And there's a, I like to call it heaven's webcam. If you ever want to, you could actually, if you wanted to, poke your head into heaven, open your eyes, and look around. You say, how could you do that? Well, you could open up to Revelation 4. He says, I looked, and there was a door standing open in heaven. Well, he's going to look in there. What does he see? I'll just read part of this. This isn't the message to the churches yet. I was in the Spirit, and there was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. I like that. God is a someone. He's not a thing. He's a person. The one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones. Seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white. They had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came... And this is happening now. Remember, this is happening now. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps are blazing. These are the spirits of God. And in front of the throne, there looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. Now, I'm going to skip ahead, because here's what's happening right now. The four creatures, each of the four creatures, day and night, they never stop saying. So this is happening right now. Before the throne of God, there's all the lightning, there's the thunder, there's the fire, there's the sea of glass, and these beings are crying out right now, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. He is. Now that's powerful to know that that's happening right now. And the and I believe that when you meditate and get a revelation of the reality of heaven and the reality of death and the reality of resurrection, that it will change how you live your life. To know, Job said it this way. He said, I know that my Redeemer lives and I will see him with my own eyes. What a revelation. I will see my Redeemer. He didn't know that the Redeemer's name was Jesus. But what he was saying is, I'm going to see Jesus, the man. I don't even know his name yet. But God has a Redeemer and I'm going to see him with these eyes. That's faith. That's power. Because heaven is a place that you can touch. There are things you can pick up and taste. But I guess that's also true of hell. It's a place that some people will see with their own eyes. You don't want to see Satan with your own eyes. Because when you do, you go, you are the one that deceived everybody, you little scrawny, runty, paralyzed, know nothing, no power. And you were able to, that's what the Bible says. The nations will go, that was Satan. His only power is getting you to believe lies and me to believe lies. He got Eve and Adam to believe that God was withholding something from them. I still think that Eve or Adam should have picked up that snake and walked it to the edge of the garden and said, we're in charge, God put us in charge, and we're throwing you out of our house. We're throwing you out of our garden. Now, still not there, because I want to get out there, but Revelation 1:1 says, this is a revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the events that soon must take place. Did you get that? And who, by the way, who wrote the book of Revelation? Don't answer. It's a trick question. Moby Dick was written by Melville, right? If he had a typist named Phyllis, would we say Moby Dick by Phyllis? If he had a secretary that wrote down and wrote, the book of Revelation is from Jesus Christ. We read that Paul was on the Isle of Patmos. He wasn't on a cruise. It was a prison isle. In case anyone didn't know that. Hey, he was on an island. No wonder he got. But he's on the Isle of Patmos when Jesus appears to him and says, I want you to write down what I'm going to show you. So even though we say, and I might even say, John the Revelator wrote the book of Revelation, he transcribed it, but Jesus is the one that spoke it. And so that's where the power comes in. Many of the parables that Jesus told all had a same theme to them. And that theme was, there are people that are not ready for Jesus coming. That there would be a thief in the night. There would be virgins that they weren't ready. So over and over we see these parables that what's the point of the parable? Is that my church is not going to believe that these things, and they're going to be caught unaware. They're going to be caught unaware. They're not going to be ready for it. The question for you and the question for me, because your rapture can occur at any time, my rapture can occur at any time, is are you ready? Are you ready? You say, I'm not sure. Well, you should be sure. That's one of the things you should be sure of. If you're not sure whether you left the garage door open, find out. So I want to say it this way. If you are saved, then you're saved. If you're saved, then you're saved. You don't have to worry about it. If you're saved, you're saved. And however you go to bed at night is how you wake up in the morning. If you go to bed saved, you wake up saved. And if you go to bed saved and you die in your sleep, you wake up saved. But if you say, tomorrow I'll get right with God, if you go to bed not right with God and the sands run out, then you wake up not right to God. But if you're saved, you're saved. And I think there is a certain fear of dying, but when you read in the Bible and you see the resurrection and that the second death has no more hold over us, that Jesus actually says, I have the keys to death. Not Satan, I hold the keys to death. And I always like to say this, that you know, I always say, well, who's in charge in hell? Because people always say, well, Satan's in charge in hell. I go, he is not in charge in hell. Jesus went there, got the keys, and Satan is being thrown into hell. He's not running it. He's a prisoner. He's going to be a prisoner in there. That is going to be his punishment in there. And here's John the Revelator, who has this amazing vision of Jesus and records these visions of heaven. And I want to point out that he started out as the most ordinary man that there could be. Just a normal guy going about his business who was called by God and who answered that call. Okay, so what I'm going to do then, I'm going to go ahead and start in on this. I'm going to get a running start at chapters 2 and 3 because, you know, you say we're just starting 2. But when you look at 1, there's so much good stuff that you got to get the running start. So here's the thing. Even though I'm just going to be reading and not commenting, I want to encourage you. This is supposed to be a message from the Holy Spirit to your heart. So not everything might resonate, but God's got something for you today. And remember, this is Jesus' sermon to the church. This, you cannot get more relevant than this. I'm going to start in chapter 1, then I'll get, I may skip a little in chapter 1, but once I get to chapter 2, are you ready? All right. I want you to engage your mind, and if you find yourself drifting because my voice isn't silky smooth or whatever, don't let it. Remember, it's not me. It's just not a sermon from me at all. This, I'm just reading the sermon from Jesus. Okay, here we go. To the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is, who was, and who is to come, from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all of the people of earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. On the Lord's day, this is John, on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like a blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all of his brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. He placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, what you have seen, what is now, what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars and the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Chapter 2. To the angel of the church in Ephesus, write. These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, your perseverance. I know you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and endured hardship for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen and repent. Do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practice of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. To the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these are the words of him who is first and last, who died and came to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know about the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who is victorious will not be hurt by the second death. To the angel of the church of Pergamum, write, these are the words of him who has the sharp, double-edged sword. I know where you live, where Satan has his throne. Yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce your faith in me, not even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put to death in your city where Satan lives. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. There are some among you who hold to the teachings of Balaam, who taught Balak to enter to entice the Israelites to sin so that they ate food sacrificed to idols and they committed sexual immorality. Likewise, you have also had those who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Repent, therefore, or I will soon come to you and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give that person a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it. To the church at Thyatira write, these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your deeds, your love and your faith, your service and your perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. I have given her time to repent of immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely until they repent of their ways. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teachings, and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you except hold on to what you have until I come. To the one who is victorious and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. That one will rule them with an iron scepter and will dash them to pieces like pottery. Just as I have received authority from my Father, I will give that one the morning star. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the angel of the church in Sardis, write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds, You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, that you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent. If you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you do not know at what time I will come to you. Yet there are a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me, dressed in white, for they are worthy. The one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but I will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, these are the words of him who is holy and holds the keys of David. When he opens, what he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength. Yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, although they are not, they are liars. I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come to the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one can take your crown. The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on them my new name. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy gold from refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those who I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. Wow. We did it. And it was hard not to stop, like every other line, because there is so much in there. But I honestly don't think that I'm going to be able to improve on the words of Jesus. So I just want to comment on it. This is Jesus telling us to be ready. If you read on in Revelation, he sees fruit growing on either side of the tree of life. And Alan, just like someday you're going to see the face of Jesus, someday you're going to be standing there and you're going to go, what is this fruit? And you're just going to pick it. You're going to eat this fruit from God. You're going to drink living water. Someday heaven is real and it's happening now. And there's a real book called the Lamb's Book of Life. And you want to make sure that your name is written in that Lamb's Book of Life. Time is short. And God is amazing. I like to think about the realities of heaven. And when anyone says, how can you believe in something you can't see? I'm like, oh, come on. You don't see radio waves. You still use your radio. You don't see the GPS waves. I was watching this science show, and they were talking about neutrinos. And an interesting fact is that any point 24 hours a day, like right now, through your hand, look at your hand. Right now, every second, trillions of neutrinos are going through your hand right now. You can't see them, but we know that they're there. At 3 o'clock in the morning, and the neutrinos come from the sun, by the way. At 3 o'clock in the morning, when the sun's on the other side of the earth, if you hold up your hand, there are trillions of neutrinos going through your hand. Well, wait a minute. I thought you said they came from the sun. They are coming through the earth, through the entire distance of the earth, and going through your hands. That's how small they are. The earth doesn't stop them. Your hand certainly doesn't stop them. I'm saying that we are used to an invisible world. And there is we are bodies, but we are also spirits. God is a spirit. You are a spirit. You live in this body. And just as you live now, you're going to continue to live. We belong in heaven. We're called to heaven. You've been called to heaven. You've been called to this wonderful future. I know life can be tough. I know life can be difficult. But we've been called to a wedding. We've been called. Who cares about the little problems of this life? They are nothing compared to the wonders and to the joys of heaven. I'll close with this story. This was it's an older story, but there was a famous singer that was invited to a wedding to sing at the wedding. And because she was such a famous singer, they invited her, and they gave her a card that said, are you coming to the reception? How many? She didn't fill out the card to the reception. Why should she? She's the wedding singer. You know, why should Tony have to get saved? He sings. Why should he have to do anything special? I'm the pastor of the church. Why do I have to do anything special? Because she didn't turn in her RSVP that I'm coming. When she went to the reception, they said, we're sorry. She said they walked her past the lobster, and they walked her past all the caviar, whatever they were having. There was a famous wedding, and they walked her out the back. Heaven is by invitation only. And God has called you, and he has invited you. And I hope that the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, even as we spoke. So I think as we close, we're going to do it with the prayer of salvation. Amen? I wish I wasn't saved so I could get saved. Right? Getting saved is amazing. And my old pastor used to say this, God has made it so easy for salvation. You could literally be falling out of a window. You know, you fall off the 30th floor. It's like, you have time. You have not a lot of time. But the time to turn to God is now. The time to repent is now. The time to take the kingdom seriously is now. The time to, and I know we're all Christians here, but sometimes we forget the reality of what is happening right now in heaven and what is going to soon happen to us. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Oh, come on now. I want to hear that. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. That's what I'm talking about. All right. So we're going to pray a prayer of salvation for everyone. Everyone. Heavenly Father, we come before you as your children, but also as sinners. We were also children of Adam. We had that seed in us, that seed of sin, that seed that makes us selfish, that seed that makes us greedy, that seed that makes us jealous, that seed that makes us angry. Father, we had all those things in our heart and in our mind, but we've renewed our mind to the Word of God. We've heard the message that a Savior came, and he died on Calvary, and he died for me, and he shed his blood, and he was resurrected, and he's now invited us to come out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his Son. He's invited us to an adoption. He's invited us out of Satan's family and into God's family. we say yes. I say yes to the cross. I say yes to Jesus. I say yes to the Holy Spirit. I say yes to the Word of God. I say yes to the Father. I thank you for the blood. The blood was shed for me. I repent of sins. I repent of being lukewarm. I repent of apathy. God, I ask that the passion that you have for us, that we would return it to you. That, Father, the reality of heaven, the reality of hell, the reality of the street of gold, the reality of the throne room, the reality of the lightning and the flashes, the reality of the millions and millions of angels that surround the throne. Thank you. You've given us a future. You've given us a home. Let not our hearts be troubled. You go to prepare a place for us, and that you will return for us. We thank you for that. We belong in the family. And Jesus, right now, I just ask that you would ensure that every name in this church is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You are our Savior. You are our Messiah. You are our King. You're not just the King. You're the King of all kings. You're not just holy. You're holy, holy, holy. And we love you. And we trust you with the rest of our life and the rest of our eternity. In the name of Jesus, amen. Y'all are dismissed. Thank you so much for being here. Remember, no service tomorrow night. Amen.